of Mark, book of Mark, chapter 2, be reading verses 1 through verse 12. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was borne or carried of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. What we read here is the description of the healing of a certain paralytic. You've probably figured out by now. If not, I'll let you know. I love to preach and teach from the miracles of Christ. Someone will say, well, Brother Dan, you've preached from this before. Not this message. There's so much. We need to learn. You can preach from the same passage of Scripture for years. It's a well that's endless. Matthew, Mark, and Luke each give record of this miraculous event. Mark and Luke give the most thorough account. And there's much to be gleaned. There's much to be learned from this event. And no doubt the Holy Spirit moved Matthew, Mark, and Luke to record this for our learning, to record it for our encouragement. There are several places in the account where emphasis can be laid and where we can draw many things from. And there are definitely spiritual applications for every person here, no matter what your spiritual condition might be. In this message, we want to emphasize and center our thoughts around verse 1. He, Jesus, was in the house. And also, we want to emphasize and center our thoughts around verse 5. He, Jesus, saith to the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And we want to emphasize and center our thoughts around verse 11. I, Jesus, saith unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. And then notice those words, and go thy way into thine house. Jesus sent this man home. And he sent him home a changed man. Luke, in his account, in Luke chapter 5 and verse 25, said that this healed paralytic departed to his own house, glorifying God. Again, this man went home a changed man. As a result, I believe it's safe to say that his home was also changed. I want to speak this morning on the subject of a life-changing, home-changing encounter with Christ. And that is the kind of encounter that we so desperately need. First of all, consider the power of Christ's presence to heal. We see first that Jesus had returned to Capernaum. Both Matthew and Mark record that this healing of this paralytic took place in Capernaum. Mark specifically states it there in verse 1, and again he entered into Capernaum. Matthew writes in Matthew 9 in verse 1, he came into his own city. Now, Capernaum is referred to his own city because it was in Capernaum that Jesus Christ performed more miracles than any other place, and it was in Capernaum that Jesus began his public ministry. Notice in Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 and verse 17. We'll not read all of verse 13, but notice, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum." Then notice verse 17. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Jesus began his public ministry in the city of Capernaum. Now, from Mark's account here in Mark chapter 2, we see that this healing of this paralytic took place on a return trip to Capernaum. Notice verse 1. "And again," again, that means he'd been there before, "again he entered into Capernaum." So Jesus had been here before, and he obviously had left, and now he has come back. That Jesus would come back anywhere is an act of grace and an act of mercy. But notice, going back to when he was in Capernaum before, notice in Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. "And they went into Capernaum." And as you read through verse 26, you see that he was in a synagogue in Capernaum. And we're not going to read these verses to save time, but I would encourage you to do so. In that synagogue, he taught and he cast out a demon. In verse 27 and 28, we see that the people were amazed at his teaching. And they were amazed at his power over the demons. And verse 28, "And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region." Jesus would leave that synagogue in Capernaum. And in verse 29, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John." So Simon and Andrew had a house in Capernaum. And Jesus enters that house. As you read on there, you see that in the house of Simon and Andrew, he healed Simon's mother-in-law. Keep in mind verse 28, his fame was spreading abroad. News was spreading about Jesus Christ. Notice verse 32. He's in the house of Simon and Andrew. And at evening, when the sun did set. So the sun was setting. He's in the house of Simon and Andrew. "They brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And it was at that house that Jesus healed, in verse 34, healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. Then notice verse 35. And in the morning, he rose up before daylight, and he was going to go to a solitary place and pray. And we see that Simon and others that were with him followed him. Verse 37, when they found Jesus in this solitary place, they said, "All men seek for thee." Again, word is spreading about Jesus. Verse 38, he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I might preach there also." He left Capernaum. And then we read of him healing some lepers outside of Capernaum. Then we come to chapter 2 and verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum. He entered into a house. It's not important, but I imagine it was the house of Simon and Andrew. But it doesn't really matter. But Jesus has returned. Because of what he had previously done in Capernaum, we've already seen that from Mark chapter 1. We see here in Mark 2 verse 1, it was noised, in other words, news quickly spread, that he was in the house. Again, probably the house of Simon and Andrew, where he had healed Peter's mother-in-law, and where he had healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. The people of Capernaum, remembering these things, they began to talk. News spread that Jesus Christ had returned, and this was the talk of the town. And I imagine it went something like this. You know, that man, Jesus, who healed so many people and cast out demons when he was here. He's back. He's back. And he's at the house. I imagine some would say, "That man Jesus, who cast the demons out of me, he's back. That man Jesus, who healed me, he's back. He's at the house." Some might say, "That man Jesus, who healed my husband, or healed my wife, or healed my son, or my daughter, or my grandson, or granddaughter, he's back. And he's at the house." No doubt, excitement was in the air. Notice verse 2. "And straightway many were gathered together, hearing the news, Jesus is back. He's come back to Capernaum, insomuch that there was no room to receive them." That is, the house wasn't large enough. "No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them." So Jesus is at this house. A huge crowd has arrived. Notice the capacity in which Christ is in this house. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. Luke chapter 5 verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judah and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. This is Luke's account of this event. So there is Jesus in the house, and he was there as Lord. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. In other words, in that house was omnipotent, omniscient God in a body of flesh. In that house was the living, conquering, triumphant, overcoming Lamb of God. In that house, in the person of Jesus Christ, was God's provision. In that house, in the person of Jesus Christ, was God's remedy, was God's solution for all the desperate needs of mankind. Jesus was in that house. And he was in that house as the manifestation of God's grace, as the manifestation of God's mercy, as the manifestation of God's love, as the manifestation of God's goodness. In that house was Jesus Christ, God's only way out of the darkness and the filthiness and the emptiness and the destruction and the ruin and the loss that sin brings. In that house was Jesus, God's only way into acceptance and favor with God. In that house was Jesus, with power to heal them. He was there, and he was able to mend. He was able to cure. He was able to repair. He was able to fix. He was able to restore. He was able to correct. He was able to set things right. He was able to deliver. He was able to strengthen. And he was there in that house. He was there. In person. And his power in his person and power was greater than all disease of body and soul. He was there, and he is above all, over all, and beyond all. He's in that house, and he's preaching to the multitudes. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. In that house was Jesus. And there was no condition. There was no situation. There was no circumstance. There was no sin. There was no guilt. There was no enslavement. There was no problem. There was no difficulty. There was no trial. There was no disease. There was no sickness. There was no plague. There was no affliction. There was no wound. There was no need. There was beyond the one who was in that house. Jesus Christ. May I say that's also true today. That's true today. He's here. And he's beyond every single condition and need that is present. And they came in droves. Jesus was there as the all-sufficient one. He had the life which they needed. He had the salvation which they needed. He was there with the light that they needed. He was there with the righteousness that they needed. He had everything that they needed. Now, among the multitude that were in that house, and among those who were outside of the house, there were those, no doubt, who needed physical healing. And there were those who were spiritually dead, duped by Satan, disobedient to God, defiled by the filth of sin, without God, afar off from God, alienated from God, and spiritually doomed. And Mark said he was in the house. And Luke says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. In other words, he was and had what those Pharisees and doctors of the law needed. Luke says that the Pharisees and the doctors of the law were there, and then it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Not only those outside the house, not only those in the house, but including those Pharisees, those scribes. He had what every individual packed in that house needed. He was and he had everything that every individual outside of the house needed. And he was and had everything that those who weren't even there needed. So Jesus is in the house. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. That brings us to the healing of this paralytic. We read of a certain paralytic. Matthew, in referring to him three times, used the phrase sick of the palsy. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2 and verse 6. Three times he used that phrase, sick of the palsy. Mark, in his account, our text, in describing this individual, used the phrase five times. Sick of the palsy. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 9, and verse 10. Luke, in describing this man, uses the phrase one time, sick of the palsy, in Luke 5, verse 24. But in addition to that, he added something else. Luke was the physician, of course. And he describes him as a man which was taken, overcome, and seized with a palsy. That shows the seriousness of the paralysis. Now, the word palsy, of course, speaks of paralysis. It's a picture of debilitation. It is a picture of powerlessness. We do not know if this individual was born with this paralysis or if an injury caused the paralysis or if the paralysis was the result of some sickness. We do not know, but we do know this. As a paralytic, this man suffered. He was unable. And there were great limitations upon his life. He had a malady that affected his view of life. He had a malady that affected the way he lived life. And without a doubt, if there were others living in the home with him, their lives also were greatly affected and altered by this man's condition. From the accounts given concerning this man, his paralysis, because of his paralysis, he was unable to walk. Now that would affect every aspect of this man's life. That would affect every area of this man's life. But you and I can be sure of this. There is a paralysis far worse than any physical paralysis. And many of God's people suffer from it. It is a spiritual paralysis. The man in our text was overcome and seized with a physical paralysis that no doubt greatly hindered his physical life. But many of God's people have been overcome and seized with a spiritual paralysis that has greatly hindered and limited their spiritual life. There are those sitting here right now, paralyzed with sin. Paralyzed with sin. There are those who are paralyzed with anger. There are those paralyzed with bitterness. There are those that are paralyzed with pride. There are those who are paralyzed with self-will. Paralyzed with jealousy. Paralyzed with a wrong perspective. Paralyzed with wrong attitudes. There may be some who are paralyzed with an empty and vain religious formality. But spiritual paralysis is very, very common. There are those who are paralyzed with discouragement. There are those who are paralyzed with hardness of heart. And there are those who are paralyzed with impenitence. They refuse to get right. They refuse to repent. They live their lives paralyzed. Again, we'd be a sad, sad bunch if our physical condition mirrored our spiritual condition. If that were the case, we'd have to get a bigger elevator. We'd all be in terrible shape. We'd be blind. We'd be lame. We'd be deaf. We'd be mute. If our physical condition mirrored our spiritual condition. Every aspect of those who are paralyzed spiritually, every aspect of their life is affected, including their home life. Notice this paralytic was brought to Christ. While Jesus was in that house, this paralytic was carried by four individuals to where Jesus was. No doubt it was a makeshift pallet. We see in verse 3 that he was born of four. They carried him there because they had hope that Jesus would heal this man. When they arrived at the house where Jesus was, they found that the people had come in such droves that there was no way that they could enter the house by the door. But they were desperate. And they desperately wanted to be in the presence of Christ. And they tried to push their way through the crowd. But the crowd wouldn't budge. They cannot get to the door of the house. But they were determined to get this paralytic to Christ. Fully persuaded and believing that Christ, who was in the house, was able to heal this man of his paralysis. Unable to enter by the door, They tried every way they could to get to where Jesus was. Luke says in Luke 5, verse 18 and 19, they sought means to bring him in. They're looking for a way. They're trying to push their way. They're trying to make their way through that crowd to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they couldn't find a way. But they so wanted this man to be in the presence of Jesus. They didn't give up. They didn't say, well, we'll come back tomorrow. No, this was something that couldn't be put off. Folks, there are conditions here right now. Please, quit putting it off. You're spiritually paralyzed. Quit living that way. Why would you continue to live that way? These people were not deterred. We read in Luke 5, verse 19, they went upon the housetop. They went up on the roof. Now, houses in that day were usually constructed with flat roofs. Usually there was a set of stairs outside along the side of the house that would allow access to the roof. And they would use these roofs much like you and I would use a deck today. They didn't have grills, of course, but they would use the deck like we would today. The roofs were made by laying timbers across the top of the house. The timbers were then covered by a layer of branches, sticks, and this would be covered by a layer of clay tiles. And then finally, a thick layer of mud was placed on the very top, and then this would be pressed so it would become very hard and rainproof. So there's Jesus. He's in the house. What's he doing? Well, we've already been told he's preaching. He's preaching. These four men carry their friend up the staircase under the roof of the house. Once they get to the roof, perhaps they could hear the voice of Jesus muffled. They can't see him. So they began to dig through the roof until they've made an opening large enough to lower their friend into the house. I imagine as Jesus preaches, he's preaching and all of a sudden there's a sound of digging up above. And you know where everybody's attention is now. They're all looking to the roof. They're all looking to the ceiling. There's the sound of digging. Short time later, some dirt begins to fall into the house. Some sticks and some wood begin to fall into that house. And then all of a sudden, blue sky breaks through. And this paralytic is lowered into the room. Luke says in Luke 5 and verse 19, into the midst before Jesus. They lowered him down right in front of Jesus. So there's this paralytic. He's helpless on a makeshift pallet, And he's in the very presence of Jesus Christ. Now in the presence of Christ, he can see him. He couldn't see him outside the house. He couldn't see him up on the roof. Now he can see him. And he can hear him. He's in the very presence of the one who is greater than his need. Jesus then forgives and heals this man. There he is, lying upon this pallet. And we read in Matthew's account in Matthew 9 and verse 2 that Jesus spoke directly to this man. He said, "Son," oh, what a word that was. That means there's fellowship. "Son, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Thy sins be forgiven thee." In Mark's account, in Mark 2 and verse 5, Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven me. Forgiven thee." What words? What wonderful words. Think upon those words. There's this man. He's in the very presence of Jesus. And Jesus says, thy sins, all your oppositions to God, all your rebellions against God, all your uprisings against God, thy sins in all of their wickedness, in all of their vileness. Think about those two words, thy sins. Thy sins, your sins that have caused so much ruin, so much loss, so much misery. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Forgiven sin is removed sin. Forgiven sin is covered sin. Forgiven sin is sin that is not imputed to us. Forgiven sin is blotted out. Forgiven sin is cleansed and washed away. Son, thy sins need to start thinking about our sins. Our sins, my sins, your sins, thy sins be forgiven thee. That paralytic, in the very presence of Jesus, not only heard those words, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee," he felt the load taken away. He not only heard it, he felt the load being lifted off of him. Oh, what a blessing to be in the presence of Jesus Christ and the load of your sins taken away. That can't happen without you feeling something. This enormous weight of sin. And Jesus took it away. Now, without going into the critical hearts and the spirit of the Pharisees and scribes, Jesus did make it known unto them the reason he said these words to the paralytic was so that they would know the Son hath present tense power on earth to forgive sins.
After you leave earth, it's too late. He has power on earth to forgive sins. This man, feeling the weight of his sins removed from him. Mark 2, verse 11. Jesus then said to him, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." Mark writes also in verse 12, "And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth." The load of sins has been taken away. The paralysis has been changed into strength. The sin is gone. The paralysis is gone. He's a changed man. Notice Luke chapter 5, verse 25. We're not going to finish by noon. Luke 5, verse 25. "And immediately he rose up before them." Everyone in that house could see this man had been changed. He had been changed by Jesus. He rose up before them. He took up that whereon he lay. He picked up that pallet and he departed to his own house. He departed to his own house. Now, this man was brought to Jesus, bouncing, twisting on a pallet. And I'm sure along the way there were moans and groans. But folks, this man wasn't carried home. He wasn't carried home. He went home walking. He went home carrying his pallet. He went home glorifying God. He had a new life. He had new perspective. His attitude is completely different. There has been a miraculous and obvious change wrought in his life. He has experienced a life-changing, a mind-altering, a life-changing experience or encounter with Christ. And I'm sure that as he went on his way home, he told everybody he could what had happened. He had a story to tell. Again, it says he departed to his own house. And oh, what a trip he had. Oh, what a trip it was. This man, this is not how I picture him walking home. I don't think so. Oh, I hurt so bad. Oh. It's not how he went home. I believe he was walking briskly. And I believe every now and then perhaps he skipped. Perhaps he hopped. Perhaps he shook his leg. Perhaps he went like this. This man was thrilled. Because he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Yet today, well, maybe not after I say this, but usually this is how people walk out. It's how they walk in. But oh, wouldn't it be great if we went leaping, rejoicing, because we've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. These people, when they went to that house, they were not going to be satisfied with anything less than a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. With a life-changing, life-altering, mind-changing, mind-altering encounter with Christ. And we should not be satisfied with anything less. Oh, what a trip he had on the way home. Now, I don't know, perhaps the four individuals that carried him, perhaps they walked with him, I don't know. But this man rejoiced all the way home. Then imagine, he departed to his own house. He returned home a new man. He returned home a new person. I don't know if there was anyone else that lived in that home. Perhaps the four that carried him did. We don't know. But let's assume there were others in that home. You know what? When he got home, he was able to walk in the door. No one had to assist him. No one had to assist him. He was able to walk around his house. He was able to walk around his house. He was able to do things in his house that he could not do before. All because of a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. If we had such an encounter, we'd go home today a different person. And we'd be able to walk around our house in a different way. And we'd be able to do things in our house that we couldn't do before. Husbands could be the husbands that they ought to be. Husbands could love their wives like they ought to. And wives can love their husbands like they ought to. And husbands can be the husbands that they ought to. And wives can be the wives that they ought to. And fathers the fathers. And mothers the mothers. And children the children. This man's life was changed. And his home was changed. And if there were others in that home, they all noticed the difference. We ought to go home in such a way. Now, most of us, everybody in our home is in church. But say you have an unsaved spouse. They stay home. You come home, they ought to see a difference. It ought to be a good difference. Folks, something's terribly wrong when you leave the house of God, go home grumpy. That's wrong. Well, if you preach different, I wouldn't go home that way. Blame it on whoever you want. They could have said, remember, they couldn't enter the door because of the crowd. Well, my life would be different if it wasn't for those people. That's tonight's message, so I'm not going to keep going there. This man's home life has changed. Jesus made a difference in every aspect his life. You and I are saved. When the Lord saved us, miraculous change took place. But many times, we as God's people, for many, many reasons, we become paralyzed. Spiritually. Not in every area, but there's paralysis.
You know what we need? We need to get to where Jesus is. We need to deal thy sins. That's where we need to begin. That's where Jesus began with this man. Thy sins. Here I am, Lord, a paralytic. I'm hopeless on a pallet, and you're going to talk to me about my sins? That's exactly where Jesus began. Folks, things won't get right until we begin there. Thy sins. And oh, what wonderful words. Thy sins are forgiven. And oh, to go from the presence of Jesus with the load taken away. And then he was empowered. With the weight of sin off of him, he's now empowered. Jesus said, arise. So he's standing up. He said, take up thy bed. So he bends down, picks up the bed, and he says, now walk home. Now I want you to go home. I want you to take what has happened to you here today, Jesus is saying, and I want you to take it home with you. So many people leave it here. You need to take it home with you. You need to take it home. Divorce rate is just as high amongst professing Christians as it is in all the rest of society. That's another message. But we need to meet with Jesus. And then we need to take it home. What a difference. What a difference it'll make. Brother Larry, if you come.